Howdy do, spoken word family, how are you? I trust that you are well. Now this is your girl MGW and this is another episode of the spoken word. If this is your first time joining us, it's a hearty welcome to you. And if you are family, then of course, thank you for being here. Before we go any further, let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we honor your name at this moment, Lord. We pause to just pick you up, to acknowledge you, to declare that you are Lord, you are God. You are number one, you are Alpha. You are over our lives, you are in charge, and you hold that highly esteemed position. And we humbly reverence you and acknowledge you and just extol praises to your name because no one else is worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we thank you for all that you are to us. We thank you for all that you have been doing. And even now, we just ask that you prepare our hearts to receive from you. We know that you're a God of love, you're a God of mercy, you're a God of grace. And even sometimes you challenge us. And so, Lord, we thank you that in everything you do it in love, simply because you love us. And so, Lord, we just ask that you go before us even now. You know, just have your way in and through us. And of course, we're careful to give you every glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I just want to hopefully be quick with us at this time. And there's a question. I did mention in prayer that sometimes the Lord challenges us. And there's a question that I want to ask us. And not that I'm saying us. There's a question that I want to ask us today. And it's, how willing are we to give up possessions and promotions and wealth for the sake of God? You know, how willing is it? Is it like a second nature? Is it an easy thing for us to, you know, once we are sure that the Lord our God wants us to give up something, to part with something? And of course, it's usually something, you know, something that is hard, something that is valuable, something that we pride. And, you know, pride can be an ugly word, of course, but usually sometimes we are challenged in that regard. And so I want us to think about this. And, you know, if you've ever been in a situation like that where the Lord asked you to do something that was hard, you know, it may just put you back in a reflective mode. And if you've been through that, the good thing is that it makes it easier if it comes around. But what if you've never been there? What if you've never been in that position? And so I want to maybe just look at two or three verses of a scripture in the gospel. And it speaks about the young rich ruler. It may be a familiar or an unfamiliar passage to us, but you know, I'm going to look at it from Mark 10, but it's also in Mark 19 and Luke 18. And before I go to the scripture, you know, interestingly, I know this is a verse that so many of us know. With God, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I would consider that to be a universal scripture, you know, but where did it come from? And it literally came right after this account, you know, where a rich man went to Jesus. And so let me just read those two verses quickly. Again, I'm doing this from Mark 10. So I'm going to, let me see how quickly I can read the account just for the purpose of someone who may not be familiar with this one. So from Mark 10 verse 17, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. And I'll pause right there, because our verses of emphasis is really verses 21 and 22, the two last verses that I read. You know, Jesus looked at him and loved him. I love the fact that, you know, Jesus was about to tell him a hard thing, because he told him about the law. And the man said, "I've been doing this since I was a boy." So clearly he grew up in that atmosphere. He grew up in that family where he knew what it was, and he was doing those. They were like second nature to him. But Jesus looked at him lovingly and said, "One thing you lack." And we can even check ourselves and see, you know, what is that one thing? What is that one thing that we lack? And for some of us, it would be maybe having a greater fellowship with God, having a deeper walk, a deeper commitment. And, you know, when we look at that thing that we lack, oftentimes it requires us to do something. You know, it requires us to do something more, to put greater effort into a thing. And for this man, Jesus said to him, "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor." Remember, we started out by classifying him. So his name wasn't given. But in all the accounts, you get the same thing: the young rich ruler or the rich young man. And clearly he had great wealth, because Jesus said to him, "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor." And he was so challenged. So he went away dejected, sad, because he had great wealth. So this man was not able to part with his wealth. What are we not able to part with? You know, and for some of us, because the truth is, if we do not have wealth per se, then we would not be challenged. We would not be challenged as this man was challenged. You know, but what is that thing of influence in our life? What is that thing where we feel as if we can't go without it, we can't do without it? And it's funny that for some of us, it may not even be so much of a big thing, but it's the impact and the hold, if I may say so, that it has on us. What if we were tasked with to put away our devices, or iPads, or phones, or laptops, you know, for, I'm not even going to say to sell them, for a week? How would we feel to do that? Because as small and as insignificant it may be to some, it is a great deal to so many of us. I don't know what your area of challenge is, or what your challenges are, really. But it really becomes personal at this point. You know, it becomes personal at this point, because we're all asking ourselves, we all need to do this introspection to see, you know, how willing are we able to give up the things that are preventing us from holding that ultimate position with God. Because what we see from this, you know, the man knew, he knew the commandments. He knew who Jesus was. Because I don't know, and I stand corrected, I don't know if anyone else would have gone to Jesus to refer to him as good, to the point where Jesus had to say to him, you know, "How do you come to call me good? Only my Father is good." So he knew who Jesus was. He knew who he was. He knew what he was about. He knew who he represented. And clearly he wanted to be a part of it. Chances are he would have heard of or have seen the lives of other persons who he knew, who came in contact with Jesus. And they were now in a better position, at a better place. And he wanted this. He wanted this, but he was so challenged to part with his wealth. And, you know, in even the very commandments. So, yes, he's familiar with the commandments, but how intimate was he with them? You know, we could even ask that, because one of the commandments, and maybe the first one, I'm not looking at that to be refreshed of the order, but clearly one speaks about not having any other gods before Jehovah, you know. And of course, this gods is in a low case, because we know about that, the idols. We know about the things that, anything at all that takes the position of God, anything that causes him not to be the head of our lives or the ruler or number one, then it means that there is a common God that is there. And it's likely, you know, just as though for this man, it was his wealth. He possessed so much in terms of wealth, and this was his earthly treasure, and this was what he was not able to part with. We now have to look to see, you know, if this thing was taken away from me. So we started out, we used an example of our iPads and our phones, or, you know, whatever devices we use to connect socially, because that has great impact on so many of us. What if we were to give a car away? You know, what if we were to give away a month's salary? What if we were to pass over a promotion? None of these are easy things to do. None of these are easy things to do. But because I'm here behind this recording, and I'm wondering, if I were tasked to give up one of those, then I would maybe say, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, because this can't be God. This can't be God telling me to maybe give up a job that he gave to me, give up a car that he gave to me, and so forth. But the point is, when you come into relationship with God, then you get to the point where you know his voice. You know, there's a scripture, I believe it's in John, and it tells us that, you know, the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. And so the sheep doesn't run to another shepherd, simply because the sheep would have had to spend time to get to know the voice. So, you know, and it comes through intimacy, again, relationship. So for those of us who are in relationship with God and deep relationship, because we know we have different kinds of relationship, but for those of us who are in deep relationship and desire deep relationship with God, then it's of utmost importance for us to get to know his voice, to know when he tasks us with things, to know when he tells us things. Because of course, those whom he loves, he chastens. He's going to challenge us. The thing is, as we saw in the scripture, Jesus looked at him and loved him. So Jesus never said, you lack one, something that you need to. And I hope everybody understands that just now. But he spoke to him with love. You could feel that. He wasn't cursing or chastising him. He wasn't saying, you know, you've always been valuing this over me. And so he spoke to him in love. He spoke to him in love. And so I do believe that even when the voice of God comes to us with a challenge, it is also going to be in love. He's a God of love. Love is God. God is love. And so it's, even the challenge is going to be in love. As the young man's eyes were open to identify Jesus. You know, as I said, he identified him, he knew of him, but I don't think he knew as much that he, so he was able to pick up the challenge, because I didn't get that he picked up the challenge. He walked away. He was dejected. He was sad. He could not part with his possession. One of the revelations that this young man didn't get was that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And I believe that is Psalm 24. You know, and for us as children of God, one of the things that we must know, and one of the things that, you know, even our relationship or faith is based on, is the fact that he's Creator God. The fact that he owns everything. The fact that he made us stewards. So in our possessions, With our wealth, our vast possessions, we have to also remember, always remember that God is the one who entrusted them to us. So if we look at the cars or the homes or, you know, whatever he has allowed us to accumulate in this lifetime, and even the things that are coming our way, we have to remember that all of it comes from God. And because he owns it, it's like saying he has a right, he has a place to tell us what to do with it. And it really shows our heart posture at times. So the things that we find hard to do away with, then we have to check our heart posture to see, why am I not able to do this thing? Why am I so challenged with this? How do I value this? You know, how do I value money, that if the Lord tells me to bless someone with it, I'm not able to do it? Or, you know, how do I value something, maybe a nice dress, a nice shoe, a shirt, something that you own, something that you like, something that you love? You know, how do you value it? Where do you rank it if you're not able to part with it? And again, all of it points back to the posture of our heart. And even as I'm reflecting, and I'm just speaking because I don't think I got any time to prepare this. I'm just coming and just going as the Holy Spirit leads. I had a challenge in recent times, and it was a hard one. It was to the point where after I was convicted when the task came to me. And I said, oh yes, I am going to do this. I do believe the Lord wants me to do it. And I delayed in doing it. And I believe for some of us, you know, depending on the magnitude of the challenge that we're getting, we may delay it because we want to be sure that it is God. And it's hard to do. So I'm not behind this saying that, you know, the challenges are easy. That is why it is called a challenge. That is why it is a challenge, because if a challenge is easy, it is no challenge, right? And I questioned it, and I was saying, well, maybe I just wanted to do this, and it really wasn't God. And I made the move. I started the process. I did it. And when it got to the point where it was done, and I got update that it was done, I was saying, I think I made a mistake. Lord, I made a mistake. Can you reverse this? Can you revert this? You know, and right through and through, I was deeply challenged. Even as I said, I got through the process, and even when it was done, I was deeply challenged. I had to go back and pray again. You know, just ask the Lord to say, all right, I've gone this far. And even if I made a mistake, which I don't think I made a mistake, it was just showing me the posture of my heart toward a particular thing, you know. And I went back in prayer, and I was asking the Lord to help me to correct my mistake, because of course he's God, right? And he's compassionate, and he's understanding, and he's gracious, and all of these things. And I went back to the Lord asking him, you know, to help me. You know, I mean, I don't think it could be reversed at that stage. But then I recognized that at that point, you know, it's trusting God, because it's also doing it in faith. So I believe, and this is my personal conviction, so even though I was challenged, I believe that the Lord wanted me to do that thing. And even though I did it, and I still felt as if, you know, I wasn't 100% with it. I don't even know if I'm still 100%. Maybe I'm about 90% now. But then I recognize that part of it was, you know, asking the Lord to help me to continue to steward in a way that he would want me to, or he can allow me to. And maybe that is how I'm at 90% now. So I share this to say that challenges are hard, especially the godly challenges. The godly challenges. So again, it's really a provoking questions to us. It should be a provoking questions to our heart. So maybe you're in a position where God is challenging you to do something, and you're saying, God, this can't be you. You know, how can this thing be? Why would you tell me to do that? But as I said, if you know the voice of God, you know your Father in heaven, you know your Abba, you're in relationship with him, then you ought to know his voice even when he's coming at you with a challenge. We ought to know his voice when he's coming at us with a challenge. The same voice that brings the gift to us, and we're excited, we're elated, we're overjoyed, and we're picking him up, and you know, we want to tell everybody about the testimony about what God has done. Then of course, when we're challenged, then we're not even talking about this one. We don't even accept it to begin with, because this young rich man walked away. He walked away, and because he couldn't part with his wealth was unfortunately a God in his life. So the ultimate question for us is, you know, what are the gods in our lives? What are the common gods in our lives? What are the things that we can't part from? And it could be a behavior as well. It could be a behavior. Sometimes we are like, you know, if you're from the Caribbean, Jamaica, to be exact, you may be one that sometimes we grew up hearing these things, a summit stay, you know, and by virtue of us just accepting our DNA, that in our DNA, and not remembering that any man being in Christ is a new creation and the old has passed, the new has come, then we're even keeping something on us that is no longer there. You know, we dragged it with us. We brought that as a God, you know, but we're really being challenged to check ourselves and to see what are the things that are hard for us to give up. What are the things that are hard for us to part with for the sake of God? If this man had done what the Lord challenged him to do, we know the end of it. God is no man's debtor. He's no man's debtor. And he's able to even give more, the exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask, imagine, or think. But it comes with us believing, knowing who he is, believing that he's able to. And faith, you know, it's all a faith walk. We're in this. You know, the good thing about it is that God has given us so many accounts through his word. So even when we're not so sure how a particular situation is going to end for us, we can look at somebody's life. I'm personally looking at the book of Job, and just to see when you go through and you feel and you experience him with him, I'm saying I'm happy to know the end of this. I'm happy to know that after all of this, he was restored. He got more than, he got double for his trouble. And we know the end of some of these accounts. We know what the word say. And so when we're challenged, of course, let us prayerfully consider our response. Let us prayerfully check the posture of our hearts. Because even as the man had his earthly treasure in the form of his possession, Jesus was promising him treasure in heaven. And there's a scripture that speaks to us about that. So we're not supposed to be storing up treasures here on earth, paraphrasing, because, you know, it's likely to get corrupted and to be stolen and to be damaged and everything. But when we have our treasure in heaven, then we know even the protection that comes with that. We know that that is preserved. We know that that becomes eternal. You know, and our scripture also says that where our treasure is, that is where our heart will be. So when I'm talking about our heart posture, we have to really look and see how do we value these things that we have in our lives. I did say I was going to be short, but I think we all have enough food for thought. You know, for this moment, this day, this week, this night, whatever time you access this recording. And let us just close off in prayer. Lord, we just want to thank you. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have come to us in love. This another time, and you're challenging our hearts. You're challenging us to really look at the things that we hold so dearly in our lives and to see, you know, what is their position in relation to you. You're asking us, why are we clinging so tightly to some of these things when they can't give us the desires of our heart because they are temporal, they won't last. And Lord, while we didn't go through all the passage, but you know, even the disciples around you, when they saw this, they said, you know, you said that it was hard for the rich to be saved because they really can't part from their possessions. And it was easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle. And Lord, but then you came back and you said, you know, when it is impossible with men, all things are possible with you. And so, Lord, we're coming from that point to know that because all things, the challenges are possible with you, we ask that as you expose the things that are in our way of getting to where you want us to be, that, you know, We will take on the challenge. We will take on the challenge to reorganize and reprioritize our lives. And Lord, for those of us who are not yet a part of the family of God, We pray, dear Father, that, you know, they will be challenged to come to the one who is able to give them heavenly treasures. They would be challenged to maybe do away, because, Lord, some of us, we did gain some things in a way that was not pleasing, that was not right. And sometimes you even strip us and give us your gifts, your blessings, you know, your wealth and things that are from you that we can say, yes, the Lord God himself gave this to me. So, Lord, we're saying, you know, as we're being challenged in this time and in this season, we're just asking you to have your way with us and just take full and complete control of our hearts, because we want our hearts to be with you. You know, we want our hearts to be on the right things, Almighty God. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you and we give you glory, honor, and praise. And we know that, Lord, at the end of it, our lives will be better for it. So thank you. Family, spoken word family, love and blessings, walk good.